Come on. I love that song. It's a great song. It's called The Victory Chant. And really just all about God's disciples being victorious and really proclaiming Jesus Christ. And it's perfect because the title of the lesson today is Victorious to the End.
Come on,
inspired to, you know, this year's Global Leadership Conference t-shirt was victorious, you know. And so I thought I'd, within the lesson, I would just wear the t-shirt again. Amen.
Amen.
And really, that's what I want to talk about, being victorious.
Nice.
And to the end is why we're all here. Is that one day we'd be with God in eternity.
Amen. Yeah.
And the day in and day out, week after week, we just fight to be victorious for Jesus Christ. On an individual level, in our own relationship with God, but then also just out and trying to win as many as possible.
Yeah.
As we know that as disciples of Christ, that once we've been forgiven and risen from the waters of baptism, we know that there is work to do, and that's to take the gospel to the known world.
Yeah.
And that's what we're here to talk about this morning. You know, to see the church in Sacramento and to see what God has done in just over 2 years has been nothing short of flat phenomenal.
Yeah.
To see the lives that have been changed, to see the funds raised to help support the church here, but also see the impact that it's had all over the world.
Yeah.
And Sacramento has played part of that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just to announce that, you know, the Quito, Ecuador mission team went out and to see Latin America, South America being evangelized is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, last year at the missions conference, they sent out the Monterrey, Mexico mission team.
Wow.
And I'm fired up that Isaac's going to go down there, Jose's going to go down there, Victor's going down there, and Brooke is going down there. And, you know, and they can bring back that vision back here and share it with all of you to see what God is doing in one of our Crown of Thorns churches. You know, to see God in just under 10 years plant 12 major cities all over the world. God is moving in His movements. And as us as disciples, we see that we got to be inspired of how we really are being victorious all around the world. And God is moving powerfully through you.
Yes.
And I want to remind us what is going on right now. In this lesson that I hope that you got your Bible out.
Yes.
I hope you're ready to take some notes. Because God is going to speak to you through His Holy Spirit and through His Word.
I'm ready, bro.
That there's a message this morning that God wants you to hear. And for me, I'm excited as well that if you got on your chair, these are the church's prayer goals for 2018.
Hey, come on, bro.
And really, what we're praying for, to God be victorious in these 10 things right here. And I pray that, and I hope that you take this home and put it on your refrigerator, put it in your Bible, and this is what you whip out and pray about every single day what we want God to do here in Sacramento this year. Amen?
Nice.
But where are we at? And how did we get here? Here in Revelation 12, turn with me there. We're going to get reminded. In Revelation 12, we know that the Apostle John wrote the book of Revelation of the visions that he got from God. And right here in Revelation 12, he shares a great vision in verse 1. This is going to set up our study this morning. This is a great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven. Woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. And she was pregnant and cried out in pain, and she was about to give birth. And then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his head. First we get, John has this vision, and he sees a woman with a crown on her head. And that woman, and who that is, well, that is the people of God.
Okay.
The next thing that he sees is that there is a dragon that appears, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his head. That red dragon is Satan. And the Bible says this woman is pregnant and she's crying out in pain and she's about to give birth. Verse 4. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God, to his throne. And the woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. Here now we have this vision where the woman is about to give birth. And there is this dragon that is waiting right there to eat the child than when it's born. Right? And she's about to give birth to a son. And the Bible says that this son is going to rule the nations. And then he's going to be snatched up to heaven. And who this vision is about, this is about the life of Jesus Christ. That he would be born, and he would live this life, and that he did rule all the nations with an iron scepter, right? He died on the cross for all of our sin, amen? Amen. And then God took him up to heaven, and that's where he is right now, amen?
Amen.
And in this vision, the Bible says that the people of God would flee to the desert. Now, when you go out to the desert, there's really not much to take care of your daily needs in the desert. Are you with me?
Right?
I mean, it's a bunch of sand like all over the place.
Right?
Water is sparse. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And here God's people are going to go out to the desert. And God says that God would take care of them for 1,260 days. Now we know the book of Revelation, right? There's a lot of numbers in there, right?
Yeah.
And the numbers are symbolic for certain things. For instance, the number 12. That signifies the people of God, okay? The number 7 is always meant to be about perfection, okay? Half of 7 is 3.5. That's half of perfection, okay? And 3.5 has always designated the time that God would allow evil to reign. Are you with me?
Yeah.
At this time, in the Jewish calendar, a Jewish month was always exactly 30 days. Okay, unlike our calendar today, where February, there's 28 days,
right?
Last month, there was 31, all right? But a Jewish calendar, always it was 30 days all across the board, okay?
Wow. Okay.
So right here, so 1,260 days actually equals 3.5 years.
Wow.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
So symbolically, this vision, this is a message to the church. Yes, yes, the devil is coming after you, all right? Yes, evil is going to reign. But God is going to take care of you.
Nice.
Now notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say 1,260 years. It says days, right?
Yeah.
Why? Because what does that mean for us? God is trying to communicate to you. I'm going to be the God that takes care of you every single day, no matter the trial. Does that fire you up this morning? What happens next? Verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. And he was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Now war breaks out in heaven. And Satan and his angels fight against God's angels. Now the good news is God's angels win, which is awesome. But the bad news is, the lost angels, the angels that lose, are hurled down, and now they're down here on earth with us.
Oh.
Right? And Satan and his angels start to lead the whole world astray. Verse 17. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman, and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus.
Wow.
The Bible says right here, now the dragon is now making war against the woman's offspring. First, the dragon went after Jesus. Couldn't do anything, right? Now he's ticked off. And now he's going to war against the woman's offspring, which are the disciples of Christ, the church of God, you and me, the rest of the disciples, right? And here he's making war against the church, right? He first went after Jesus, right? And now he's trying to declare war on us. But I put it before you this morning. He's trying to wage war against us. It's time for us to wage war on him. Are you with me? My first point this morning is victorious proclamation. The book of Revelation was written to inspire the first century church that was going through intense persecution, that they would hold on, knowing that they held to God and they imitated Jesus Christ, that they would overcome.
Yeah.
And if we're doing the same thing, we've got to imitate their faith and their conviction.
Yeah.
Let's look at how they overcame Satan, which is exactly what we can do today. Are you with me?
Yeah.
How did they do it? Verse 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Right here, God's word shares how the disciples overcame Satan. Number one, it says, by the blood of the Lamb. The grace of God. I don't know about you, but I'm fired up that this year in our movement is a year of grace. Are you with me? It's just a year of grace. And I appreciate Aaron doing a fantastic job leading this communion right there. And just remind us about God's love. And how his love just abounds so much.
Yeah.
And many of us, we forget like how much we are just loved by God every single day.
Yeah.
That's the blood of Jesus that purifies you from all wickedness, right? That as a baptized disciple, you can walk away just sprinkling clean all day. Knowing like, wow, okay, you know what? Jesus died for that one. And you can get back up and keep moving forward. That's the grace of God. And let me tell you what, isn't it awesome just, you know, when you celebrate a spiritual birthday, you know?
Yeah.
You know, in the world, right, we were fired up about our physical birthdays, right? But then, you know, when you're like me and you're 42, you're not literally looking forward to your 43rd, you know? I mean, once you pass that 40 mark, it's like, what's going on? You know what I'm talking about? That's just me. All right. But spiritual birthdays, that's a baptized disciple. You're fired up because you like you remember that day. Right. And this past Monday, we took out my wife and I and Jackie. We went out and took out Jadea for her spiritual birthday. She turned 6. Right. And we went to this amazing barbecue place called Water Wings over there in Florin. That Brooke knows all about right there. Amen. She's got a deep conviction on barbecue, which is awesome. And we went there. The wings were incredible. The ribs were just so good. Like, oh, my gosh. Right? I was just fired up. I mean, I was fired up that Jackie didn't finish all her ribs, and I got to take those 2 ribs whole. Amen. Thank you. Lunch the next day was flat phenomenal. Amen. I'll just say that. Right? But it was cool because you did. Like, my wife just asked you, like, hey, just take me back. Like, what was it like before you became a disciple? Like, you know, how we reached out to you and all that stuff. And she just walked through her life. And just hearing, like, God move, you know, like, and just seeing her heart was just that open. And she just started seeking God. She knew where she was at. Like, I know I'm not in the right spot. You know, like, I believe in God. I mean, but I know I'm not living a life as a Christian, even though I call myself that. And, you know, and she just happened to be on that subway train at that time. You know, and there's stories like that. Like, I shouldn't have even been there in that moment.
Yeah.
But yet there was a disciple who shared their faith with me. Right? And then she just shared about studying the Bible, you know, just all, you know, just how challenging that was and all this stuff, right?
Yeah.
And she just shared about that victorious day. But everybody has an exciting story like that.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
And that's the grace of God.
Yeah.
And that's how they overcame him.
Yeah.
We just never lose sight of how our lives have been changed because of the blood of Christ. Are you with me?
Yeah.
You know, the second thing says, they did not love their life so much as to shrink from death. So many of us can be just so afraid to die. Are you with me?
Yeah.
We're just so afraid. And how do we know we're just so afraid? I mean, you know, everybody's got to go get car insurance, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, like, what do they call it? Automobile insurance.
Yep.
And you go get that, right?
Yep.
Everybody knows that, you know, they've got to go get fire insurance for their home, right? And they call it fire insurance, right?
Yeah.
Everybody knows, you know, you got to go get homeowner's insurance and stuff like that. And that's what they call it. Homeowner's insurance, right?
Mm-hmm.
You need health insurance. And that's what they call it, right? But yet, why isn't there death insurance? What do they call it?
Life
insurance, right? Because we don't even want to say the word death.
Right?
We're just so scared. We're just so freaked out. And we don't want to put ourselves out there. We don't want to push ourselves. And yet the first century church was not afraid of dying. Because they knew they were forgiven. If it was that day, amen, I get to go be with God in eternity. I put before you, we've got to be more radical. There's some of those radicals in these false religions that believe in a false God and false teachers. They're not afraid to die.
Right.
And some of us, we can be so freaked out by that because we know these guys are willing to do whatever it takes for their cause.
Yeah.
How much more us as disciples of Christ are you with me?
Yeah.
The third thing was they overcame him by the word of their testimony, sharing their faith. Wherever they went, they just shared how much Jesus had impacted them. They shared how much, I mean, it was awesome that Victor and Dacia came up here and just shared that proverb about the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they were that's just what they did. They were just so fired up about the kingdom of God. They just had to tell everybody about it. And that's how they overcame Satan. This letter is written about 95 AD, and it's written at the height of Domitian's reign. Mm. They persecuted the Christians in some of the most gruesome ways. And he writes on what being faithful as a disciple of Jesus Christ is all about. Yeah. And I want to walk us through some scriptures that for us here, you see, okay, wow, if I'm going to be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ, if I'm going to be victorious to the end, then what do I got to do? Why do I got to imitate the life just the same way as the first century church? Let's look at what the Bible says on what it is to be a faithful disciple of Christ.
On,
Revelation chapter 1.
Awesome.
Hope you came for a Bible study because you're about to get one.
Yeah.
And Revelation 1 and verse 9 says, I, John, your brother and companion in suffering in the kingdom and patient endurance that ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. So right here, John right here, who wrote this letter, right, says that he was banned on the island of Patmos. All right. Now, here's what happened. They tried to boil him alive in Colossae. Right. They tossed him. He was there in an arena and they tossed him in boiling oil to try to kill him. Right.
Yeah.
But the guy, John, jumps out unscathed and he's alive. And those in the arena, there were many that were in the arena, saw this go down. They tried to kill him, but he gets out of there alive. And because of that, like, whoa, they turned and became disciples of Christ themselves because they were inspired that he was willing to jump in there, but coming out like, whoa, that's the power of God.
Right. Yes.
And he did this before the testimony of Jesus. That's why that happened. And he was the only apostle that didn't die a martyr's death, but yet he was still boiled in oil. Amen.
Right.
Yeah. Revelation chapter 2.
Come on, bro.
And verse 12. To the angel of the church in Pergamum write, these are the words of him who has a sharp double-edged sword. I know where you live, where Satan has his throne. Yet you remain true to my name. You do not renounce your faith in me, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death in your city where Satan lives. Wow. Here Jesus commends the church in Pergamum. And why he commends them? Because they didn't fall back when Antipas was put to death. Now, very interestingly, you see right there in verse 13 how Jesus describes Antipas, and he calls him my faithful witness. Right?
Yeah.
Now, witness in the Greek means martyr.
Wow.
So, to be a witness for Jesus, to truly show your faith, and to be faithful for Jesus, to Jesus, is that you're willing to be a martyr for the cause.
Wow.
That you're willing to die for this.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Right? People think, like, when we study the Bible with them, like, man, are you just trying to get me to come to a weekly meeting? No, 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 no. I'm trying to get you to die.
Yeah.
Like Jesus, right?
Yeah.
That's why so many, when they study the Bible, right, and they see the call to be a committed disciple, right, and they run, the reality is because they just want a comfortable Christianity. They'll be like, you know what, I don't think your group is for me. What they're really saying is discipleship, living like Jesus, is not for me. That's the reality of what they're saying. I don't want to die. Jesus is not calling you to come to church just on Sundays or for when you feel like it, or read the Bible and pray whenever you feel like it. No, he's calling you to die for this. That is the only way this world is going to change. The same way that it changed in the first century, because there was a group of sold out men and women. It didn't matter what you were going to do to them. And for Jesus, that was considered faithful.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Let's look at Revelation chapter 6.
Come on, bro.
And verse 9.
Come on, bro.
Revelation 6 and verse 9 says, and this is talking about when the seals were open and God's about to come in the judgment right here. And verse 9 says, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who've been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. Wow. Now this one right here, it says the vision of those that had been martyred as well. And it said the reason why they were killed was because they maintained the testimony of God. Right? Yeah. They maintained it. Now, think about this. And I was convicted when I went through this. Like, you know, it's amazing when you see somebody baptized and they come up and they know their sins are forgiven. They get the Holy Spirit, right? They're fired up by studying the Bible and it was exciting. And everybody loves them. They're giving them hugs, right? And people that are on Valentine's Day are bringing them little boxes and they're getting the roses and stuff. Like, man, this is great. This is awesome, man. You know? And what are you doing? Like, you're going everywhere and anywhere, right? You're telling anybody, like, man, you got to come to church, but you want to study the Bible. And you're just sharing your faith like mad. You should be fired up as a baby Christian, right?
Yeah.
Just on fire for Jesus, right?
Yeah.
You're so on fire, right? That you literally believe, man, I can shoot light fire bolts out of my hands.
Yeah.
I'm so close to God right now. Like, literally, I probably could call down fire if I wanted to. Right? I mean, that's what you believe, right? And you just went after sharing your faith. But as soon as time goes on, as soon as you mature in age, you stop sharing your faith daily. You stop maintaining and holding out the testimony of Jesus Christ. Right? The Bible teaches, my brothers and sisters, to be faithful to Jesus is to maintain the testimony of Jesus. We have disciples that come to church on Sundays. They'll go to Bible talk. They'll go to midweek devotional. And don't maintain the testimony of Jesus every day. They're not both. You know, I was inspired by some boldness on Saturday. Right? I mean, number one, it was flat awesome. And the church is flat amazing. I mean, it's the grace of God that Courtney and I get to lead you. And to see your heart just pour yourself out there week after week. Right? And just to raise the money for the mission field is flat awesome. Right, but a sister I got to love up is just like flat bold and it calls me her, and that's a dream.
Right?
All right. So, mind you, it was like 12:30 and I got like, guys, pull it. All right, okay. All right. We got $70 so far. All right. If we get $100 more right now in a half hour, we're done for the day. Okay. And we're going, everybody's like, yeah, bro, let's go. Right. And I knew we could do it. Right. And they just went after it and we did it. Right. And we are done. I'm trying to pull everything in, right? And then there's a couple of times where Adrian was trying to get the attention of a sheriff car, right? To donate, right? And I'm like, all right, amen. Her faith is a lot higher than mine. Like, all right. And so we're done. And as soon as we're done at the light, the red light stops right there. We're on there in Florida and 65th, right? There's a sheriff car that rolls up, and it's by the sidewalk. Adrienne is still there on the side when she just goes up and flags him down. I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going on? I don't want to get in trouble right here, right? And, you know, she's like, they're coming. I'm like, okay, let's pray real quick, guys. You know, like, let's close out right there. And they get out of the car, right? And they get out of the car, and he goes back and opens up the back trunk and stuff. They're like, oh, I hope that went well. And he comes out. They both come up, and we're all like shaking their hand, and trying to be very loving and all that stuff. Like, thank you for your service, all that stuff, right? You know, and the dude, they both roll up, and they hand us a $20 bill. And I was like, now that's flat bold. And that boldness, that's why tagging is so good, because it challenges you to put yourself out there. But that is how the first century church lived. They maintained it every day. Why did Adrian do that? Because she really believes in changing the world.
Right.
How much more us than just extending an invitation? Following up and asking that person, do you want to study the Bible? Do you want to come to a life-changing Bible talk?
Yeah.
Who cares if they think you're crazy?
Right.
They didn't. And they were willing to die for it.
Yeah.
Because they really believe, like, wow, this is the kingdom of God. My sins are forgiven. I'm fired up about this. I need everybody to come check this out.
Yeah. Come on.
Revelation chapter 17. In verse 6.
Come on, bro.
Here's another vision. It says, I saw that woman was drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of those who have bore the testimony of Jesus. The Bible says right here in this vision, there's this woman and she was riding on the beach. And it says that she was drunk with the blood of the saints. Now, the blood of those that bore the testimony of Jesus. Now, the beast, now who that is, the beast, that's referring to the Roman Empire. And very interestingly, the woman that's riding on this beast is actually Jerusalem, which are the people that profess to be the people of God. And they killed so many disciples that they were drunk with the blood.
Wow.
That's intense. Yeah. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4.
On,
let's look at our final vision here.
Come on, bro.
Revelation 20, verse 4. It says, I saw the thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. And they had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or their hands. And they came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now this final vision that John is allowed to see, and what he sees are those that were beheaded for holding to the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now here's the thing. If you were a non-Roman citizen, right? You were crucified. But if you were a Roman citizen, you kind of had a grace, so to speak, you get to be beheaded. Right? Okay, thank you. Right? But here's what's really cool right here, what's going on. I mean, what is this talking about? See, we know that Christianity started with the Jews, right?
Yeah.
But here's what happened. Because they maintained and held to the testimony of Jesus, now it had gone out to the entire Roman Empire. Roman citizens had embraced it because they indeed, in fact, went out to all nations. Isn't that incredible?
Wow, that's awesome.
Now, that is the radical church of the first century.
Yeah.
And I put before you, this has got to be the radical church of the 21st century.
Yeah.
Maybe you're sitting there like, wow, bro, that's really awesome. I'm convicted. Okay. I could use a little inspiration. Awesome. I got some for you.
Oh, all right. Jacob.
And, you know, I mean, we have some amazing examples of people out here that are very bold and sure in their faith. And, you know, and you're hearing this and you're convicted. Now, here's the reality. There's a reason why Jesus sent people out two by two.
Yeah.
And we do need to work together as a team. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And I'm fired up that we have a team of churches that are fighting together to evangelize the world. That's how we're doing it together.
Yeah.
And there's two churches that I want to share with you that are inspiring examples.
Yeah.
Two Crown of Thorns churches that have incredible examples of them getting back to maintaining the testimony of Jesus.
Yeah.
The first one is our church in Dubai.
Wow.
All right, that are gallantly led out there in the Middle East by R.D. and April Baker.
Nice.
Let me take you back. The mission team was sent out in 2016 at the Global Leadership Conference with just 9 disciples.
Wow.
Their mission field, the Middle East,
dang,
where it's predominantly Islamic.
Dang.
Right?
Yeah.
But the Bible works anywhere, amen?
Amen.
Well, our dear brother and sister, Kip and Elena McKean, went out there for their inaugural service. And so together they made 11 disciples for their inaugural service. Nobody other visiting disciples went there. Those 11 in the Middle East went after it, sharing their faith, right? Those 11 had 56 in attendance.
Wow.
At their first inaugural service, right?
Nice.
Now over the next four months, they only had 6 additions. Just a few restorations and a couple of place memberships, right? And they hadn't had any baptisms yet. And at this time as well, sadly, 3 members had to go back and return to where they came from because of visa challenges, right? And so, not any baptisms, anybody, you know, no baptism, that can kind of be discouraging right there. Then you have 3 mission team members that got to go home, right?
Wow.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And so, their church started to get in trouble and they stopped maintaining the testimony of Jesus. You know, the Bible talks about, in Revelation 21, about, you know, cowardice and unbelief will send you into hell. And those are 2 sins that they were really steeped in. They just got cowardly, like, nobody wants to become a Christian. I can't put myself out there. And really, unbelief equals discouragement. They just got discouraged, right?
Yeah.
Well, in January 2017, our brother and sister Kip and Elena decided to go, like, we got to go out there. We got to encourage the church, right?
Yeah.
They go out there, and they take with them another brother to go out there and help them, and that was R.J. Castro. And they go to Dubai. And now at this time, there's 13 disciples. And Kip shares a key scripture. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 to inspire them. He shares a scripture with them. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 9, the Bible says, "For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me." And he shares this verse with them, and he does his best to inspire the church. And he says, Paul right here is talking about the grace of God. And he's talking about that he knows that, man, he doesn't even deserve to be an apostle because of how he treated the church. And he says, hey, the grace of God was not without effect. No, it impacted me so much that I worked harder than all of them. And he challenged the disciples, church, family, you got to remember the grace of God. And you got to preach the word of God with great joy. Are you with me?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I love the story. I love it. I mean, when Claudia met Bianca, she saw the joy on Claudia's face.
Come on, Claudia.
You know, just something about that. It's just so fired. Like, yeah. Psh. I mean, who's going to turn down that? You're just like, hey, you got to come out. Like, it's awesome. You're like, I love it. It changed my life, right? Yeah. And that's what he's trying to, like, you guys, you got to remember that. And the church courageously recoups. Right? And they can start going after it. Yeah. They start baptizing. Then Satan strikes again. Whoa. Satan strikes again. And April Baker, who was born with a heart defect, literally has a heart attack. Her heart, she goes into cardiac arrest. And her heart stops for 4 minutes. Whoa. Amen. By the grace of God, she recoups after praying. And, you know, her husband, R.D., was praying. So were the disciples. Amen. And she's resuscitated, right? And she almost died, but she comes back to life, which is awesome. And then she courageously decides, like, no, I want to go back to Dubai.
Yeah,
wow. I'm going to die, but if I'm going to die, it's not going to be in the comforts of the United States. I want to die with my life mattering out on the mission field.
Wow.
And so they go back. And those 13 disciples, in 12 months, family, had 29 baptisms in the Middle East, in the desert. You break that down, it's incredible. Those 13 disciples had 29 baptisms. That means each disciple there for those 13 had 2.333 baptisms.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome, right? It's exciting, right? And you equate that with a church of 35 here. If we were to replicate that, you do the math right there, that's over 70 baptisms this year. Isn't that exciting? Is that just such on fire? You have to think about that. Like, wow, if we maintain the testimony of Jesus.
Yeah.
A year from now, we ain't going to be able to fit in here. We're going to have to meet down in the Hind Auditorium.
Yeah.
The whole time.
Yeah.
Right? Are you with me?
Yeah.
I mean, mission teams go, wow, why do they crank? Why do they? Because everybody is on the mission team mindset.
Yeah.
They don't love their lives so much to shrink from death. They're motivated by the grace of God, and they know why they're there. To go and impact souls.
Right.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Dubai did it. Do we believe we can do that this morning?
Yeah.
Do we believe in the power of God, that the Bible works here the same way it does over in Dubai?
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
I challenge us. It's time to stretch our vision and what God can do through us.
Wow.
We've got a great group. This is a phenomenal church, a sacrificial church, a church that loves each other. I mean, oh my gosh, we got chocolates today to remind us
right.
of how awesome this church is.
Yeah.
But yet we have not totally maintained holding out the testimony of Jesus Christ. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Now, maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, like, well, bro, I appreciate that, bro. I mean, laying it out, being bold right there, that's awesome. But, bro, you don't understand the Bible talk that I'm in, bro. Bro, you don't understand the you know, just where I'm at and just, you know, my situation. I mean, people aren't open, bro, on my campus. They're not open on my job, bro. You don't understand that, bro. I mean, it's just my group, my situation. It's just... Bro, it's dead in the water, bro. Actually, bro, it's so dead in the water, we actually have no water. Right? Awesome. Well, I appreciate you sharing that. That leads me to my second church, the Manila Church. Amen? Now, for those that got to go to Victorious Global Leadership Conference, amen, it was like a mountaintop experience.
It is awesome.
It's like one of those, you know, like where Jesus was on the mountain, he got transfigured, and Peter and John, they're all like, whoa, this is awesome. I can't believe we're here. This is incredible, right? you know, the 12th Crown of Thorns Church got planted in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
It was awesome, right? Tyler graduated from ICCM there, which is incredible. I mean,
I know somebody else that had a mountaintop experience. I mean, Victor started dating at that conference, right? And we know how much he cares about Abigail if you saw that Facebook post about asking, right?
But despite all that great stuff, there was still a sadness in there, the people that knew what was going on. Because the couple that led the matrimonial church were going to be asked to step down from leadership because of sin. And they were taken out. And after the conference was over, Tim and Leanne Kernan stayed there for a few weeks to take care of the church and kind of help restructure things. Then Joe and Carrie Willis, who lead the Sydney church, stayed there for a couple of months. And even though they had some baptisms, so many fell away.
Wow.
It's about over 75 people that fell away because of the unfaithfulness of their leaders. And that's how much the plague hurt. And Kip and Elena, who lead our movement, and the other leaders were just praying and, like, and through council and all that stuff, like, who can we send there to take over this church? We need to find a righteous couple who loves the Lord so much and go over there and do an incredible job and get that church back to the where they need to be. And after prayer and much advice, they chose Richie and Elizabeth McDonald, who were leading the Washington, D.C. church at the time. And they go there, and they were chosen to lead. And January 4th of this year, Kip introduces them to the church and shows them around Manila. And then they have a winter workshop there. Kip challenged them. Yeah, all right, here's the thing, guys. You got to have a record Bring Your Neighbor Day in 2 weeks. All right? And we need to get every disciple maintaining the testimony of Jesus. And you got to get back to having daily baptisms. At one time in our former fellowship, the Metropolitan Church was over 5,000 disciples.
Wow.
It's such a rich, open mission field.
Wow.
Right? And so Richie preaches the next day on Sunday an incredible lesson. This guy says, I believe we can do it, church, but we can't do it alone. So this is how we're going to do it. We're going to call on the power of God, and we're going to fast, and we're going to pray for God to bless our Bring Your Neighbor Day.
Wow.
And then he shares a story. He shares a story about his father in the faith, Luke Speckman, who's leading the New York City church right now. And he shares a story where Luke, the church was doing fine, and there were Bible talks that were being fruitful and baptizing, but there was a few Bible talks that weren't, they hadn't had a baptism in a while, in a few months, right? And he's like, all right, I got to get in there, and I got to help out these Bible talks. And so he pulled one Bible talk in, and he rallied them in, and he's like, all right, guys, hey, and he sits down with them. He's like, guys, we can be fruitful. I'm like, all right, yeah, bro, I believe that, sure. I mean, yeah, we can be fruitful. No, guys, we can have a baptism this week. Everybody's like, all right, and this is how we're going to do it. All right, we're going to pray, and we're going to fast. We're going to fast until we get a baptism.
Wow.
Everybody's like, whoa, okay, all right, so we're serious about this. Yes, all right, so we're going to pray until we get a baptism. And one of the brothers was like, all right, so bro, I mean, is this one of those 12-hour fasts, you know? Are we going to do like a 24-hour fast? I mean, what kind of fast? I mean, we just fasted from coffee? I mean, are we fasting for fast food? I mean, what kind of fast is this? This is a real fast.
Right.
The only thing we're taking in our bodies is water.
Right.
Okay. Whoa. Well, everybody saw the call right there. And immediately after he got done, everybody whips out their notebooks, go through their phones, start writing down the contacts and stuff like that. I mean, just going out there. I mean, they were urgent, right? Like, we got to eat. Right? We got to eat. And they start fasting. And fasting for us, we want to stand, I mean, is telling God, I really want this.
Yeah.
I really want this. I'm going to fast from food to show you how bad I really want this.
Wow.
God wants to know this morning, how bad do we want to bear fruit?
Come on, yeah.
How bad do we want to change this city?
Yeah.
He wants to know, how bad do we want to get down to Stockton?
Yeah.
He wants to know, how bad do we want a church in Reno?
Come on, bro.
How bad do we want to evangelize Northern California and the world?
Come on,
what are we willing to do to see that happen? The reality was they only had one hot study.
Name.
One. Right? And they were supposed to meet with this gal on Wednesday, right? And so everybody on that day, obviously they're like praying, like, let's go, like, let's go, they're praying. She cancels the study. It was like, oh gosh. Like, what? No, what is going on, right? And then, amen, she opens up her Friday, right? And of course, everybody's praying, okay, she's open on Friday. She studies on Friday, right? She studies by Friday, and praise God, she was baptized on that Sunday, and they could eat again, amen. And so Richie shares that story. And he's like, all right, church, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to blow out our Bring Your Neighbor Day. Yeah. He's like, we're going to fast until each and every single one of you has two solid commitments to Bring Your Neighbor Day. It could take you 2 hours, and then you can eat. Or it could take you 2 days, but that's what we're going to do.
Nice.
And everybody was like inspired, like, all right, let's go after this. And they went after it, and they made it happen. Nice. Next week, Richie's like, all right, guys, awesome. Now, I want you to fast until you get three solid commitments.
Nice.
The church is fired up. They go after it. Amazingly, my brothers and sisters, at their Bring Your Neighbor Day, the 202 disciples of the Metro Manila Church had 424 people in attendance at their church service. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, since January 14th, in the last 21 days, they've had 22 additions.
Wow.
Last Sunday, they had 8 baptisms.
Wow.
Does that fire you up? I feel for you. I mean, yes, this stretches your faith, but God can move.
Yeah.
The Bible doesn't read any different in Manila than it does here in Sacramento.
Yeah.
People aren't more open to all that stuff, right? That's just that stuff that Satan wants to put in your head.
Right.
There are people, there are miracles that can happen right here.
Yeah.
But I put before you the call. It is time for us to get serious about bearing fruit.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody's got to have a conviction. We're not a denominational church. And what do I mean by that? All right? You guys don't hand in your contribution for me and my wife to do all the baptizing and evangelism. Are you with me?
Yeah.
No, that's not what we believe.
Yeah.
Right? It saddens me. Too, there's just there, and this is the thing that we're fighting against. I mean, there's so many kids, there's so many people that believe. I believe that before I study the Bible. Oh, it's that dude, it's that guy right there. He's fired up about God. He's like, really, he baptized. He bring people to church, right? You know, but this is how God says, this is how you're faithful to me. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And we are a Bible church made up of disciples. It's time for us to maintain the testimony of Jesus Christ. That believe that, man, the same miracles that were happening in the Middle East in the desert.
Yeah.
The same thing that was happening over there in the Pac Rim of Manila can happen here in Sacramento. Are you with me? My second point, victorious to all nations. Let's wind down here. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20. We'll bring it to a close. Revelation 20 and verse 12 says, then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on the earth. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead, and they were in it. And the death and Hades gave them up, and the dead were with them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Now, as John is winding down his vision right here given by God, what he sees right here is judgment, and he sees the books are open, and particularly the book of life. And he sees in what he shares right here, if anyone's name is not found in the book, they're thrown into the fire. Yeah. And every baptized disciple's name is written in the book. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Right? And for us, we just fight to maintain, to make sure that our name stays in there. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Revelation 21, verse 4, or verse 1. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them, and they'll be their God. He'll wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Wow. Here it talks about that day when God sends Jesus back to take us to heaven. It talks about a new heaven and a new earth, how the old order of things will pass away. It talks about a wedding. Now, weddings are awesome, right? And the Bible starts with the wedding of Adam and Eve. But here the Bible ends with the wedding of Jesus and the church.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome?
That's cool.
I mean, one of the great miracles here at the church, I mean, I'll never forget, is the wedding of Marcus and Erica.
Yeah.
Go. All right. Married as true disciples of Christ out there in Lake Tahoe, where I fell in love with Tahoe. Thank you so much. But just seeing that, I mean, that white dress meant something. Marcus was fired up. It was beautiful. It was encouraging. And later on that year, Andre and Cynthia's wedding, which is awesome. Right? And the church also saw Ryan and Luz Caceres and their wedding here last year in February. I mean, weddings are awesome. I'll never forget my wedding. I mean, you don't forget your wedding. All right. I mean, you got the pictures, but man, those that got married, it's like a constant video that's going over and over again. I mean, you're just playing that tape back in your head. I mean, Courtney came out. She had her hair all done up and all curly. I mean, just looking radiant. It was awesome. She was beautiful. I was waiting for the doors to open up, and they open up, and it's like light showing through. I'm like, oh, wow, there she is. And I always look at the husband. I like the husband-to-be. Is he going to tear up? Because it's such a powerful moment. All right? And I love it. And that one moment that I love so much, right, and now that I have a daughter, I get even more emotional. But just seeing that moment where the father's walking the daughter down and hands over the bride over to the husband-to-be. And like, here, I've taken care of her 18, 20-plus years, and I've been there from the day she was born. Now I'm trusting you, who I barely even know. Whoa! It is such a powerful moment. But weddings are so incredible. And that's what's going to be like for all of us to go to heaven one day, where Jesus is going to come to take us to be with him in eternity.
Yeah.
Well, the old order of things, I mean, that is the reality. Right? And Satan tries so hard to lead us astray, to get us caught up on the here and now and worry about the future. And we forget what life is all about. Right? That it's not about this. It's about where we're going, our final destination.
Yeah.
Heaven.
Right.
Where there'll be no more tears. Yeah. And we're fighting to get to all nations. I mean, the Bible says that what pleases God, that everyone would come to a knowledge of the truth and so be saved.
Yeah.
Right? That's why we're raising this special mission. I mean, it fires me up that was Matt's heart
come
right there.
Come on, man.
I mean, that is awesome to be commended right there. An incredible example. I mean, because this is the why. And again, that's why we're going down to this missions conference, because really, like, everybody has got to hear the word of God.
Yeah.
And that's why everybody here has upped their pledge, because yes, we've got to sustain the forceful advancement here. Because we just don't know. We don't know when people, you know, they got their last moment, and we've got to get to them fast.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
You know, when we get to heaven, and we get to fellowship with John the Apostle, we find him up there. We're like, man, John. Man, the book of Revelation, that was awesome. Yeah, but man, I got to ask you one question. Was it worth it? I mean, was it really worth it to stay that committed to Jesus? And you were the last apostle to die. But man, you got boiled in oil, man, for the testimony of Jesus. I mean, you were burned. I mean, I burned myself on a cup of tea, but man, you had to put boil in oil. Like, was it worth it? And I believe that he went out to say anything. No words will be necessary. And then we're up there, and you get a chance to sit down, and you find Peter. You're like, Peter, hey, Peter, hold on a second. Can I ask you one question? Peter, I got to ask you. Was it worth it? Was it worth it to lay down? I mean, you got back up. I mean, you denied Christ, but you got back up and you laid out that sermon and you just laid down your life. I mean, you're with your wife and your kids and you had to see your wife crucified right before your eyes. And you yourself died that gruesome death. Was it worth it? I believe no words would be necessary. And you're rolling through, and then you come across Stephen. Stephen, there in the book of Acts, he was chosen to be one of the first deacons in Acts chapter 6. And you find him, and you sit down with Stephen, and you're like, Stephen, I just got to ask you a question. Was it worth it? Was it worth it being chosen to be that first martyr? I mean, man, those guys, they try to ruin your name, and they speared you. They're trying to make you this false testimony, all these things. But you stood up and you laid it out.
Yeah.
And you got stoned for it. Yeah. You got stoned to death. Like, was it worth it? Again, no words would be necessary. Then you find James, the brother of John, who's beheaded in Acts chapter 12. Like, John, James, man, hey, I just got to ask you a question. Was it worth it? Was it worth it to be that committed to Jesus? I mean, and be one of the first apostles to die a martyr's death? I mean, you were beheaded, man. Was it worth it? Again, no words would be necessary. And then we get up there. And you guys find my wife.
Wow.
You go up to her and you find her. And you ask her, Courtney, I mean, was it worth it? Was it worth it just to lay down your life like that? I mean, you went into the ministry. You went into the ministry where half the church was not even with you. And you poured yourself out and you saw the pain. I mean, you had to follow that crazy bald guy right there and be married to him. I mean, God, was that worth it? We saw him almost have a nervous breakdown, almost lose his faith. And then you uprooted yourself and stepped out of it. You had no idea what was going to happen. And then you had the faith to go back in the ministry again. I mean, was it worth it to move away from your family? Again, no words would be necessary.
Come on, bro.
And you guys find Tyler.
Come on, Tyler.
Known as Bieber.
Come on, Bieber.
And you find Tyler and you ask him, Tyler, was it worth it? Was it worth it to study the Bible, Tyler? I mean, you were engaged, man. You were with this girl for 5 years. And you laid it on the line because you knew you had to be a disciple. And you didn't know what was going to happen. And then you became a disciple. Then in 9 months, you went down with a guy you barely even knew to come down to San Jose to go into the ministry and follow him. I mean, was it worth it? We saw family members fall away. You yourself went through a lot of heart. Was it worth it? Again, no words would be necessary. And then you find up there Alexis.
Come on, Alexis.
You find Alexis. And you go up to Alexis and you ask Alexis, was it worth it, Alexis? Was it worth it? I mean, you took a big stand to step out of that church that you were going to for so long because you saw it wasn't teaching the right thing in accordance with sound doctrine. Your family thought you were crazy. Your friends thought you were crazy. But you made that decision to become a disciple.
That's awesome.
Was it worth it? Again, no words would be necessary. And you get up there and you find Jesus Christ. You find Jesus and you go up to Jesus. Jesus, was it worth it? Was it worth it to come out of heaven? Was it worth it to come out of heaven and be a missionary on earth? To walk among men? They would call you names. They killed you in the most gruesome way. Was it worth it, Jesus? And then he would say, yes, it was absolutely worth it. Would you just look around you? Look at that cloud right over there. That is the cloud of Mexicans that have made Jesus Lord. Would you look at that cloud over there? That's an entire Russian cloud of Russians that have made Jesus Lord. Will you look over there? That is an entire cloud of all the Asians that have made Jesus Lord. Oh, you know what? You got to see that cloud over there, because those are the hundreds and thousands of Sacramentians that have made Jesus Lord. It was absolutely worth it. Because there are no tears in heaven.
Come on, bro.
My brothers and sisters, the first century church was flat radical.
They were.
They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb. They didn't love their lives so much as to shrink from death. And they overcame him by the word of their testimony.
Yeah.
And I pray that I've stirred your heart this morning.
Yeah.
As you've seen from the scriptures. And you reflect and you examine yourself where you're at. It is time for us to answer this call. And I'm not trying to give you a power thought. I'm trying to get you to believe that the same things can happen here in the 21st century. Are you with me?
Yeah.
That we can be victorious to all nations. That we work together as a team. That I'm not expecting just one person to do it. That's not what we're about.
Yeah.
That we are a family fighting together.
Yeah.
That we can see together that cloud up there together.
Yeah.
And we can go up there and see all nations together and Rome heaven together. And there will be no tears in heaven. Why? Because we had victorious proclamation.
That's right, bro.
And because we were victorious to all nations.
Amen.
That if we go after that, we will be victorious to the end. Let's make some decisions today and give all our hearts. And let's have an awesome 2018. I love you very much.